is from Exodus 24, 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Josiah, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up onto the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 2 Peter 1, 16-21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from the God and the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message from more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter, starting with the first verse. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and the other for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord. The Transfiguration of Jesus. This is such a fabulous story. Jesus and a few disciples climb onto a mountaintop and poof, we have this amazing otherworldly experience. Jesus glows, and a voice from God above confirms his true identity. And voila, we have Superstar Jesus, or Jesus Christ Superstar. One of the professors at Luther Seminary, Mark Thronweit, pointed out something that was really beautiful, and I have to pass it along. It's that at either end of Lent, we have this mountaintop experience. Right before Lent begins, which is where we are today, we have this bright and shiny mountaintop experience where Jesus is confirmed as the Son of God. Now, the other bookend to Lent is when we have a dark mountain. We are at Golgotha, where Jesus is dying, trampled by the empire, helpless on a cross. And in many ways, we want the bright and shiny Jesus more than we want the desperate and dying Jesus at Golgotha. We want the bright and shiny and powerful and glorious Jesus who is lit up like a Christmas tree. We want this because Jesus is the hero of the story, our stories. We see him as triumphant, standing bravely high upon a hill. Instead, during the season of Lent, we grapple once again with this Jesus that we don't really want, if we're truly honest. Because although we may want to look away, we are faced with the torture and death of God's own Son. If it was the death of any other person like you and me, it would be tragic, yes. But this is God's elect we're talking about. This is God with skin on. This is God in the flesh. And it's painful to stand by and watch while Jesus is rejected, betrayed, and killed. The Jesus we sometimes want is more of that triumphant king. However, the Jesus that we get is better than the one that we want because he overcomes death in the grave for our sake and then becomes lit up once again on the other side of Easter. The Jesus that we want and the Jesus that we get. There's a movie coming out this Friday called The Shack, which is based on a novel by the same name. Have any of you read that book? Okay, many people I've talked to, they either loved it or they really didn't like it at all. But it's a really interesting book that got a lot of people talking. I think it came out around 2008, 2009. So the movie version is coming out this week. And in the story, Mac, who is the main character, goes to an old broken down shack in the middle of a forest in order to come face to face with God. See, Mac is broken. When his daughter was killed, Mac seems to have lost a part of him. And he's angry. He's really angry with God. So he goes in for a fight. But when he gets there, he's surprised that God greets him and embraces him and holds him tightly. And Mac still struggles and says, "Where were you? Where were you when I needed you?" And God responds, "I never left you. I was with you the whole time." Sometimes our lives take detours, do they not? At times we are on top of that shiny mountaintop, shining like Jesus, like a Christmas tree, right? And other times our lives are on that other mountain at what feels like Golgotha, a place of despair, confusion, exhaustion, just like Matt. Last week, Pastor Hardy discussed in his sermon the tremendous amount of change that has happened in this congregation in the last year. And I've heard from many of you about what it's like, been like for you in this time of transition. For some, it has been a difficult time of letting go and saying goodbye. For others, it's been a sign of God's presence, a sign of growth and excitement about the future. And still others feel a mixture of all those things wrapped up together. And I'm with you in that. I feel that too. But that does not diminish the exciting future that we have together, serving together, working together, with such a community of generous and talented and grace-filled people. As a community that follows Jesus, we will go through those ups and downs. We will experience those mountaintop experiences, and we will be on that other mountain as well in Golgotha, struggling, mourning, holding on tightly to that promise that God is indeed with us. Just like that story at Golgotha, we learn that death is not the end, but it is simply part of the journey that God can show, to show us an example, to provide a glimpse into the new life that God has in store for us. If it's true for Jesus, then it's true for all of us. that God is with us. So coming into the season of Lent this year, I've been asking myself the question, what do we as a community need? What do I need? What do you need? We may want to stay on the bright and shiny mountaintop instead of traveling with Jesus to Golgotha. But that is, in fact, where we're heading. If we want to be part of that experience of Jesus, then we need to be willing to go there, willing to be blinded by that bright light today, shining on that mountaintop, confirming who Jesus really is, and to come down from that mountaintop, to be willing to walk with Jesus toward Golgotha, toward his death. That is part of our journey during the season of Lent. Not to stay high upon the mountaintop with God's voice still ringing in our ears, but to go with Jesus to Jerusalem, to the darkest of places where doubt and fear reside, to the place where our own fears and inadequacies reside. Because it is in those dark places that Jesus meets us and says, me too. Me too. I've been there where you are. I have been the one who is hurt and stressed out and have more on my plate than I can handle. That is the journey that we're on this Lent. What do you need to get through these next 40 days? What about just this week? Well, when I look around, I see a lot of people who are doing incredible things, but a lot of people who are very busy. Are any of you real busy these days? Okay, come on. All right, yep. We're all pretty busy. So this Lent, we're going to be starting a series called Busy, Reconnecting with an Unhurried God. We're busy, right? We are people who are often swept away by the frenetic pace of life, and we need something to hang on to. That something, or rather someone, is Jesus. From the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows, Jesus gets us. He understands the human experience because he lived it. And because of his death and resurrection, we can get a glimpse of what God has waiting for us too. So on Wednesday nights, we have worship here, 7 o'clock. And you should have gotten one of these when you came in. Did everyone get one of these? Okay, if you did not see an usher on the way out, take an extra one to invite a friend. Right? So what it has is, on the back side, it has our schedule for Lenten worship. And it also has the study, the online study materials we will be using to supplement our Wednesday night worship. So Wednesday night, we will have hold an evening prayer service. We will have a short reflection. It will be a nice time to reflect, step away from our busy lives. And then either on your own or Sunday mornings, you can, for the adult education hour, we will be discussing this material. It's a Bible study to reconnect us to God, who is not busy, just like we are. So what I'm hoping is that during this season of Lent, we can have a chance to slow down from our busy lives and to journey with Jesus from this one mountaintop to the other, as together we discover that our unhurried God is in fact with us. Thanks be to God.